Okay, here we go. Sound check okay? We're okay? All right, good. Welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, July 8th, 2014. We're at the Morro Bay Community Center studio. And this is a special meeting for interviews to fill the vacancies on the newly formed Water Reclamation Facility. It's a Citizens Advisory Committee. And we conducted one of these meetings. Thank you for that. The committee will consist of 7 members. There may be some discussion on that as far as, since we have so many, I guess it would be a discussion perhaps later whether or not we want to expand that because of the number of applicants that we have, but I'll leave that for a further discussion. As it's set right now, we advertised it for 7 members total. 2 members are from our current advisory board, so we'll have one from the Public Works Advisory Board that was appointed, and then one from the Planning Commission Board. So amongst the applicants, we'll have 5 that we'll select today. And then we wanted to have 2 alternates, and we'll discuss that as we go as well. The Technical Advisory Board will operate under the current policies and procedures for advisory bodies that we have approved, and will be subject to the Brown Act. As I said, we had applicants that were here yesterday that we interviewed, and we'll conclude this today. The methodology in which we'll go through the selection, first of all, we'll go through each council member will have a question. We'll go through an introduction at first, and then following all the questioning period, we'll have any follow-up questions that we may want to respond to, and then if any one of the applicants wants to have any closing remarks, we'll open it up for that. So in the spirit of keeping this moving along, considering we have another meeting later on, I'll just start to the left, and if you wouldn't mind stating your name and a brief introduction, and then we'll just go right through to the right with all the applicants. Sir?
I'm Steve Francis. Quickie on background. BS in EE from UC Davis in 73. Most of my career has been in aerospace, both as a designer and as a project manager. And we've lived in Slo County since 2002.
Thank you.
My name is Taylor Newton, and I live here in Morro Bay, and I run a nonprofit business here in Morro Bay and another business here in Morro Bay. My background is a science background from Cal Poly. I have a Bachelor's of Science in Ecology and Systematic Biology with a concentration in Botany and a minor in English. I worked on naval grants having to do with marine biology.
The cities here, counties in the 3-county area, Ventura, Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo. I am a resident of Pismo Beach. I'm also a planning commissioner of the city of Pismo Beach. And here today because I care about your community. I've always cared about this community. I spent my honeymoon here 30 years ago. And we bought one of our first properties here on Hemlock Avenue. And appreciate the opportunity to be assistance to the city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Paul Donnelly. I've lived here most of my life. I was previously on the selection committee that you hired for your consultant that did the study that we have now. Very good study. The city did a good job in hiring Rickenbach, and I think that will definitely help us in this committee as it takes off and using that document as a good reference. I'm a registered civil engineer. I'm registered here in the state of California and also in the state of Hawaii. I'm also a professional land surveyor licensed in the same both states. I worked for the county public works department for over 27 years. I've been retired for the past 2.5. I was project manager on several multi-million dollar projects, including the Chorro Valley Pipeline that brings state water to the city of Morro Bay. I was project manager and resident engineer of that project. So if you guys have any ideas of running a pipeline up that valley to the men's colony, I know that area quite well. I know other places to go and where not to go. So I'm sure I could be assistance in determining that route if that's what you choose to do.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm Jim Hayes. I worked for the city for 31 years, 12 in the treatment plant, about 9 in the wastewater collection department. I know quite a bit about sewage and treatment plants and the infrastructure in Morro Bay. I've been here for a long time, and I would like to serve this committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Jenny?
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jenny Gorelick, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. We've lived here for 4 years. My bachelor's degree is in liberal arts from University of Arizona. I have a master's degree from Rutgers University in environmental studies. And my experience is primarily with the Environmental Protection Agency, both in Washington, D.C., their Office of Wastewater Management and the Water Permits Division, and also...
Great, Jenny. Thanks for all the introductions, and relax. We'll start with our questions, and we'll go in the same order we started from yesterday. I'll start out with Noah. He'll ask his question, and then we'll move on down to the left to Christine.
Yeah, thank you all for being here today. And just some of you got into your experience and qualifications and how you think that would relate to the project, but just like to give you a chance to go a little deeper and maybe a little more specific on some things that you think directly apply to our project and how you would operate as a committee member. So if you wanted to just take a little more time and explain that and maybe highlight a couple of specifics from your resume.
Yes, Steve. Thanks, Noah. Yep.
Let's see. Much of my professional experience deals with forming and getting committees to work to develop a project where you have 1,000 people in a department trying to work together. Everybody at first starts off their own way. So you have to build a plan, rein people in to do that plan, set targets for them, monitor things, set budgets and monitor those. So sometimes kick people off the team when they're not when they're no longer value-added team members. So that's applicable experience from a paid career perspective. On the public side, I spent 4 years working as a committee member for the City of Bellevue, Washington, on their transportation committee, trying to organize all of the staff transportation projects for the next year's budget and plans, getting good projects pulled together, prioritizing the projects. Trying to pull in information from various interest groups throughout the city, the bus riders, the bike riders, the carpoolers, people who refuse to do any of those, and the business community trying to develop a good cohesive plan to recommend to council. I enjoy.
Started my business here in Morro Bay and started a nonprofit business called organization called the Gorilla Gardening Club, which is focused on public works projects and community and gardens and somewhat in tourism, but it's mostly focused on young adult at-risk group and diversion. And so in some ways I work a lot with the city and the young people in the community. My background is in the environmental sciences, having to do with water, and I've been very active in the community for the past, since 2005, 2006. Can't really think of anything else I could go on that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Taylor. David?
Thank you. A little more background on myself. I've been involved in right away now for 16 years. Our firm has worked on the CCWA, Central Coast Water Authority, acquiring all the rights from the grade through Lake Kachuma. We also worked on the Nacimiento Pipeline Project, bringing water, of course, from Nacimiento through North County to San Luis Obispo. As far as wastewater projects, I have worked with Los Osos CSD on and off for 12 years and just completed working with the County of San Luis Obispo on that project also. Where I would fit into the group, I feel, is from the right-of-way perspective, looking at the engineering plans, looking at the right-of-way, the direction you want to go, what's most cost prohibitive right-of-way wise, where you would save money right-of-way as far as picking your new location, working closely with the engineering on the design, looking for the possible problems that can arise, also advising as far as other public agencies, some obstructions or some situations you'll run into as you would with the railroad or the State Department of Transportation. There are certain rules that apply. Also, rules apply on where you get your grant funding, how you go about purchasing property for your public works projects. So that is key. And
consider how we're going to manage all of this flow in the system. Pre-treatment might happen at the existing facility. Take some of the trash out of the system before you pump what's left up to wherever you're going to treat it. When you get to your site, the site terrain might dictate exactly what it is what we're going to put there. The more grading that you have to do, boy, the expenses are going to go through the roof. The other thing about grading on a site like that is that's when you find your unknowns. You may find culture resources or there may be buried features, and all of those things are going to cost you. So a really well-managed project with really good construction documents will help a lot of those headaches. You also asked how I'd operate as a committee member. I've been on very many committees, chair of several committees here at the city and at the county. And when I was on the street and tree committee, we had 7 members. And it's really hard to get a consensus with 7 people, but boy, that was something that we always strive for. If there's somebody that didn't quite understand, we would take the time to get that person to understand and try to get consensus whenever we could. That was the best way to go.
Thanks, Paul. Jim?
Well, like I said, I worked at the plant for a number of years, and I worked in the collection system for a number of years. I worked with Bruce Keough and Daryl Richards before that, so I have a lot of experience there. And in the collection department, I did write the sewer system management plan. So I've operated with regional water quality and the state board, so I don't have any issues working with them. That's not a problem. How I would act on a board would be to tell the truth as I know it, and I'm not a yes man. You will know my opinion, and I know that you already do. And so I'm willing to work to do what's right for the citizens of Morro Bay.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Jenny.
Okay, so 3 things that I, in particular, that I think I can bring to the committee is I'm passionate about finding funding for the wastewater treatment plant. And again, having worked in Office of Wastewater Management, I've been aware that the funding has gone downhill for several years now. So on my own, I've started to look at funding sources for not just the wastewater treatment plant here, but for other and I've been successful at that. My other area that I'm passionate about is outreach to inform the community of what's going on, both in terms of funding and moving forward with the wastewater treatment plant. I have extensive outreach experience at EPA. And then finally, I just left the agency 4 years ago, and I've maintained my strong contacts with staff and management both at EPA headquarters and at the EPA regional office in San Francisco. And I'd like to help smooth the way for the folks, the managers here in Morro Bay, to get funding for that wastewater treatment plant. Throughout my career, I've worked collaboratively with states, other stakeholders, trade associations, because I've developed national regulations and national policies, as I mentioned before. So in order to find something, to create something that's implementable, we engage stakeholders early on. I have a lot of experience in managing contractors, having first been a contractor myself, and then working not only with EPA, but I did a stint with the Naval Facilities Engineering Command in San Diego, where I managed contracts to close out two military installations. So did everything from work assignments all the way to close out. But again, I've applied for this position is I retired 4 years ago. I'd like to give back to my community. There are a few areas that I think I have relevant experience, and I've just explained them. Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Good answers and great applicants. At this time, we'll work this way, and I'll call out a different applicant to start off in their answer. So in deciding to apply for this committee, I just wonder if you would explain what motivated you to do that and what your interests are in that, and then maybe explain what you might feel the most important component of siting a new treatment plant will be. And I'll start with you, Taylor.
Okay. Well, I've been both personally actively involved in the community, and I've created a business that forces me to also be actively community involved. I'm on the Morro Bay Tree Committee, and I just finished my second year as president of the Morro Bay Eco Rotary Club, and more involved. But a lot of the drama that I saw has kept me more focused on my work, and I kind of wanted to wait for something that I could volunteer myself for to be of service that had to do with something more along my collegiate education, and this seems appropriate. And I just finished being 2 years as president of the Eco Rotary, so I do have a little bit more time, so might as well fill that up as soon as possible. And I'm very passionate about our community and the future for our youth. And I know that water is our most precious resource because of my college education and my experience in my career. And I'm very good at seeing through BS.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. David.
I would say my motivation started probably about 8 years ago when I was on the San Luis Bay Surfrider Board. I followed this project for 8 years. I've got up a few times and spoke on it to the JPA. I feel that there is such an opportunity here for Morro Bay to be a leader in the Central Coast for the way things should be done. And as far as building this wastewater treatment plant, having tertiary, having full reclamation, this is not something we have anywhere in this county at this point. So I see this as a prime opportunity to show the rest of the county how this can be done, how it can be done correctly, and how it can be done as most affordable as possible for the residents. So I think with that, that is a driving force behind me. I want to see this happen, but I want to see it happen without it totally handicapping the residents to get this public works project done. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul.
Well, what motivates me is that I'm a ratepayer here, so I'm going to see the bill like all of us. Also, my wife and I own property here, our home, and so we feel as like we're stakeholders as well. What interests me is that it's a major civil engineering project, and as a registered civil engineer, it definitely gets my interest. And as far as the most important aspect in siting the project, it might really be its distance from the city and its distance to where you want to take your reclaimed water.
I would like to bring logic and the finite, the ideas that really need to be addressed, the laws, the regulations, what's really there that has to be done. My motivation is to serve the people of Morro Bay, and it's not any more complex than that. I want to see this done right. That's it.
All right, Jim. Thank you. Ginny.
Okay, as I've mentioned earlier, my motivation is, like my colleagues here, I'd like to give back to Morro Bay. It's my opportunity now to give back to my community, having had a career most of my life. In terms of the siting for the wastewater treatment plant, what motivates me the most is affordability. And I know we've had some studies done, and they've been preliminary, especially with regard to the financial aspect. And I think the jury's still out in terms of which of the two sites is the most affordable. So I'm looking to see a cost-effective water reclamation facility using the best available treatment technology that's affordable, and that's underlined, and that it meets Clean Water Act standards.
Thanks, Jenny. And back to Steve. So do you want me to repeat the question?
Please.
Yeah, thanks. So it was when you were considering applying for this position, what was your primary motivation that signaled you to apply for this? That could be your interest. What interests you? And then what do you feel is the most important component in siting the new treatment facility?
Okay. As Morro Bay is going to shortly be my long-term home, I want to get a project that's going to serve the city. We do it once. We do it right once. If it costs a bit more, but it's the right project that doesn't get broken again, or we have to move again, let's do it right. So I'd like to help guide the project to be. It was pretty close. So I'd like to help whittle that down. I have the time to. One other thing is, since I don't know a lot of people in town, I don't have allegiances to one side or the other. I don't know the sides. I know there are sides in town. I don't know them. So I probably won't be terribly influenced by one side or the other. I'll be influenced by what's the data. So, thank you.
Great, Steve. George, you want to lead off with your questions? And then we'll start with Dave Jewell for the first response.
All right. Well, let's touch on that a little bit. This project's been, oh, God, I can't remember how many years ago but it was started, but this project's been going on a long time. And it's taken a new direction. We know that it was going in one direction, and now it's not. Now, there's a lot of us out here in this pub that have our own opinion where we should have had this wastewater plant and where we are going to go with it. We have to start focusing where we're going to go. Now, we're headed this direction. This has been established by the city council, and we need to move on it, and we need to put aside all the other thoughts that we had in mind to doing other things. We need to start concentration really hard on where we're going to go with this wastewater plant. It's going to be the biggest and most important thing that probably all of us have done in this town or ever will do. So anyway, getting to my question that I was going to ask, some of you already touched on it. You kind of blew my thunder there. Anyway, there's going to be a lot of cost in this plant. We know no matter where we go, it's going to be costly. And there's a lot of people that are worried about this. They've mentioned to me, and I imagine they've talked to the rest of the city council and amongst themselves, that this is going to be a very costly project. And it's going to affect the citizens of this town with their rates. and some of the people in this town are living on pretty tight budgets. Anyway, I want to ask, how much weight will you put into the cost of this, of the building this plant? I think it should be one of the priorities, and so I'm going to see what you think.
Expansion to San Luis Obispo County, felt we needed to be closer to Highway 101, okay, because we travel up and down the 101 corridor from Monterey to Oxnard, most generally. Morro Bay is a little off the beaten path, and that's what I love about it. So it is still my long-term plan to retire here, so I care. I'm going to be on a fixed budget. As I said, the two homes that I have here already will eventually become my sons. So this is very important to me to keep things as affordable as possible, not only for my tenants, but for my family in the future.
Thanks, David. Paul?
Well, the biggest component of cost is going to be your construction, and that's the one thing that can easily get away from you. When I was the project manager of the state water line, really I was on top of it. The most important thing I did every day was the cost accounting of the contract and how we can avert potential claims, extra change orders. Fortunately, we had really good contract documents to work off of, and knowing that I was going to pay for any extras, I was on it like really tight. This project, if done well, and the contract documents are done well, and it's cited in just that right spot, I think we can keep the cost down to the bare minimum. In other words, when the Rickenbach team put together their numbers, they said it was more of a range of numbers and kind of averaged into the $100 million and $160 million. But I think that was, we can go in a low end. We can find a low end and probably come out of this less than that if we really keep on top of the control and quality of the documents and the management of this project.
Thanks, Paul. Jim?
I may have misinterpreted the question. It was how important the cost is. Yeah. The cost is very important. And you're right, the things that we had said before, that boat has sailed and it's time to get in line with what's going on and come up with this, keep the cost down. I am on a fixed budget. I have a family here. I don't want them to be broke, and I don't want them to have to move because of this. So it does need to be kept in some kind of a logical format. You need to pick a method and stay with the method you've chosen. You need to pick a place and stay with the place you've chosen and not be vacillating back around, because every time you do that, it costs more money. So the cost is really critical. The product is also critical. So you're going to have to balance.
Okay. This is relevant to the question.
Thank you. Thanks, Rob.
I think the cost is huge in this project, and that's what motivated me to get involved and do this research on funding sources. I wasn't directed by anybody to do that. I just did it because I was curious to find out what's out there. And so what I've just passed out is some of the results of the research that I did. And basically, I looked at lots of different funding sources, starting with Barbara Boxer's grants newsletter all the way down to various websites. And as I mentioned before, I looked at over 2,500 grants, and I got it down to 65. But you know what? That's just the tip of the iceberg, because the fact of the matter is grants are coming up all the time. And I'm not saying that we're eligible for all these. It's very, very difficult to get grants, and it's very time-consuming, as our city manager knows. So we have to be focused on which grants we want to pursue to fund this project. So what I was trying to do was to find out if there were any trends in terms of other communities getting grants to fund their wastewater treatment plants. And because I thought that in terms of what we end up with, it would be good that we had something that we know is a potential winner. So with that said, I drilled down and I looked at some of the common buzzwords that I found in some of the grant applications. And one of the key ones was collaborative regional innovation. So at least US EPA and I think USDA right now are really focusing on regional projects. They're trying to get a bigger bang for the buck. And public-private partnerships, regional strategic priorities, they're looking at global climate change, global competitiveness. Drought is a big issue here that we could weave into our grant proposals. But what I would like to see the city do was to, and maybe through this committee, is to establish a work group, like a sub-work group, of folks in Morro Bay that would like to continue to look for grants and to develop a system so that we could bring up these grants, the ones that we think are most reasonable, and brief the city managers on them, and then go after them. I have provided information to your question, is where's funding in my pecking order? I think it's at the very top. And I think that the project's doable as long as we're realistic and it's not a Cadillac, but it's based on best available technology. It uses some of the trends, it follows some of the trends that the other funded wastewater treatment plants have followed. So for example, regionalization, reclamation is huge. I think every project I've seen that was funded in the last couple of years all have a reclamation component. So I'd love to see a work group established that could pursue the funding and make it more systematic. I do talk with my neighbors. They're very, very concerned. Like me, they're on fixed incomes, and they're concerned that this is going to drive them out of their homes. And I've tried to reassure them that won't happen. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. Steve.
I have a slightly different priority tree, I guess. I look for selecting the best project first, focusing on the system that both works the best for us and gives us reasonable potential for offsetting cost through the reuse of water or you know, sale of reclaimed water. Look at the long-term net package there. Once we've gotten to that point, then we're through all of the funding options between grants, bonds, different payment methods for those bonds. For people that may want to pay off their part of it quickly, people who need a longer term payment option on it.
Thank you. Great. Thanks, Steve. Taylor.
I think that as an American, of course, the correct answer is going to be that money's very important. I'm a capitalist, and of course, I want to spend less money. I think it's kind of almost like a trick question. Of course, money is the most important thing to us. But at the same time, being a young man, I see that the world's changing, and I think that a product like this, the wastewater treatment plant, to me, is something that I want quality and I want for the future. Smart about how they use their resources, well, that's the correct road for the future.
All right, Taylor, thanks. Christine.
Great, thank you. Thanks for your answer so far, and thank you to each of you for applying and coming through this very public process of having us ask questions and have you answer, and who knows who's watching at home and who will watch and replay, so thanks for your efforts for that. So when we discussed forming the committee, there were five key skill areas that the council suggested would be wonderful to have in their applicants. So we've had 15 people apply, and virtually all of you have at least two of these skills. So what they were an interest in or knowledge of engineering, water quality, planning, environmental permitting, and municipal finance matters. But after reviewing this advertisement that we sent out, I realized we forgot one really key skill that you will be needing on this committee as well. What I've learned from my role on the council is that when you have information that other folks want to know about, you find yourself explaining all sorts of things, all sorts of places. So if you're on this committee, people will know that you're drilling down and you're focusing. Many other residents, as you know, just aren't going to be able to keep up with all that's happening. So when you bump into people, you're really going to have to communicate to them. what's going on. So communication is a skill that is also really important on this committee in addition to the other five. So my question is, if you could tell us about an experience you've had where you've worked with a complicated project. It doesn't have to be from the world of wastewater or water, but anywhere that you've worked with something that's been complex and you've had to narrow down the complexity and explain it to people in simple terms. So if there's a project from your past that was complicated that you had to explain in simple terms, how did you do that? Or how would you do that in this case? So I think...
Lead off with Paul.
Thank you.
Oh, boy, I can think of many, many situations. When I came off the State Water Project, I took on the Nacimiento Project at that time. It was starting up again. And I was the project manager. I was the chairman of the Nacimiento Participants Advisory Committee at the time. We were working with Monterey County real closely. They own the rights to the water and the dam. And their board of supervisors for the Monterey County Water Resources Agency wanted San Luis Obispo County to put on it. It was good to get that feeling from them.
Thanks, Paul. Jim?
I have had the opportunity to describe how the plant works and how the collection works, collection system works to numerous people. And I find the easiest way and most understandable method is to break it down into small component units that are understandable and go from step one to step two to step three to the outfall. And that's the best way to do it. And sometimes it takes more time, but generally it has proven to be worth it. And that's how I do it.
Thanks, Jim. Jenny?
I think the most challenging project I ever worked on was when I wrote the first National Underground Storage Tank regulations. And the first part of that was a national registration effort, which, so for the first time ever, people had to register their underground storage tanks, and then they were going to be regulated. And nobody had a clue where these tanks were located. It was amazing. And so basically what we had to do was just, and I think I had maybe 50 people in my work group. As I mentioned earlier, I enlisted people from the states, all the stakeholders, states, the regional offices. I had people that represented trade associations like American Petroleum Institute, anybody that had a stake in underground storage tanks. So we would have regular work group meetings, and you know, they were structured, and we were trying to find out what were the biggest concerns of their members with regard to the trade associations and the states. Everybody was concerned that it was going to be an expensive process and that it was going to be undoable. But somehow we managed to write the proposed regulations and the final regulations within a year's time. And within 2 years, we had the tanks registered because we had outreach programs. We provided the states with kits, how to write press releases, I mean, all the way through, radio spots, how to reach out to people so that they were at least informed that this regulation was coming down the pike, so that they were given an opportunity to be in compliance. And then we developed a national computerized program, a database, and we made it, like you said, as easy as possible so we could get as many people on board as possible. So that was my most difficult, most challenging project, but I think at the same time it was one of my most successful projects.
Thank you. Steve?
Difficult and challenging. I was a project manager working for Boeing on the 757 program, and commercial airplanes may have like 1,500 options and getting all of the part numbers. And of course, the cost got passed along to the airlines, and they were complaining about cost of the airplanes. So the simplest way was to reduce the variability. So we developed a standard in quotes airplane. We're going to give you for free these most commonly selected options and put those in the baseline, because it's cheaper for us to give you that than manually select it each time. We then buried provisions in drawings so that that drawing never changed again. And that sounds real simple, but you have to then find the best fit. You do this drawing and this drawing, but not this next one, because it has greater change for a different reason. So it's a case of finding the best fit, and then convincing someone who has made a career out of editing this one drawing for all these options, your drawing now never changes. So part of his workload goes away. So you end up with a lot of resistance there. It was a change in a mindset that had gone on since the early 50s, and this is late 90s. So a lot of heads to reshape to do this. It was a lot of briefings, walking people through why we need to do it, how we're planning on doing it, the methodology to select what to do, the impact, the timing, and then driving that first airplane through the shop, getting it out the door finally. So that's a case of developing a plan that was a significant left turn to how we'd done things before. Not communicating the plan, implementing it, and it finally ended up shaving about 10% off of Boeing's cost on the airplane. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Steve. Taylor.
Okay, so listening to your question, I was red.
It's red. Good? All right, so listening to your question, I was imagining what you were saying, being on the streets of Morro Bay and answering questions like that. And I just happen to do that every single day. My job puts me to hear it in order for them to understand what the data means. And I think a specific example of that, I have many examples. I do recycling and zero waste. I do composting. I do public plantings, irrigation, all these different things that I teach young people, adults, and older people about. My best example would be something with the tree committee. We did the Heritage Tree Ordinance. We designed that and researched that. We copied a lot of what SLO did, and then we went through all of the City Council and the Public Works and described it, and we wrote it down, and we talked to people about it, and we did public plantings, and we talked to kids about it, and we were on television talking about it, and I did that. And every time you talk to a different person, you need to understand and listen to what they're asking you specifically, and then give them the answer they're looking for that's honest and applicable to the data. Thank you.
Thanks, Taylor. How about you, Dave?
Well, I probably don't see as many residents of Morro Bay as Taylor does. But I do see the residents on Hemlock, and they do ask me questions about the wastewater treatment plant and what's going on. So I do get into the discussion when I come over here. Probably my toughest situation was Spanish Springs and Price Canyon as a planning commissioner. As you have all witnessed, it's always fun to walk into the chambers and find it overflowing and spilling outside and taking public comment for 3 to 4 hours. It's always a great thing. Spanish Springs went on, and we had several hearings, EIRs changed, so on and so forth over the time. City staff spent numerous hours on this project and did give the appearance that the city was for the Spanish Springs project. We at the time had a public works director who I had great admiration for. He had been on the board of CCWA, and he came before us and he said that we would not need to worry about water if Spanish Springs went forward. The state would always provide water. And I unfortunately called him out on that. And I told him there is no guarantee that state water will be delivered in perpetuity. And, of course, look what we have this last year. It came to pass. That public works director is no longer with us. Still have great asking for grant funding to upgrade themselves to tertiary, and don't be let in by a developer offering to do it for you. I took a stage left, and I upset some people in the community. And then I had a lot of people in the community who supported me. I had friends who became very angry with me, very angry phone calls, and I had to calmly explain to them where I was coming from. Not that I am against development, but it has to be smart development. It has to be sustainable development. This is a new age. We have to move forward in sustainability. If you cannot sustain yourself in your wastewater and your water, you better wake up. The day's come to pass. You have to. You have to reclaim your water. This is where Templeton CSD is moving. I applaud Tina Mayer in the direction she's trying to take Templeton. They could have very easily gone on with Paso Robles. Paso Robles is building a full reclamation plant, but it's very expensive. And I think this is something Morro Bay can look at, is look what's going on Paso Robles, and it's costing. And they came back to Templeton, and they said, you know, half of the Templeton community waste goes to Paso. And they had, the board there had to take a look at what was that cost going to be. And then they had to look at what would be the cost if we turn around and bring it back to our plant and eventually upgrade our plant and reclaim our own water. So this is huge. And sitting on the RAC board, I go to many meetings, work very diligently to pay attention. But I think one of the most lacking things with the county RAC board is not talking enough about reclamation, reclaiming water, how important it's going to be. When I first started working with Templeton CSD, they had a general manager there who had come from the Midwest. I myself come from the Midwest. I grew up in Kansas City. I grew up next to the Missouri River. Missouri River starts up in Minnesota. Every city coming down takes the water in, uses it, cleans it up, and puts it back into Missouri. The next city grabs it. Well, Kansas City's pretty far down the line. But we were taking the water in that had been through probably 10 cities before, cleaned up and put back, and we were using it for our drinking water. When he came and looked at Templeton's wastewater treatment plant, he took pictures of it and sent it back to the Midwest. Said, we haven't seen one of these since 1960. Everything in the Midwest is tertiary, you know, and has been since the 1970s. So California is coming to the point they're realizing, especially being a drought state, how important it is.
Any follow-up questions? And yeah, you have any follow-up questions? I have one. And Dave, I didn't quite hear during the introductions. You said you worked for a planning firm and you'd worked with the Los Osos CSD. Is that correct?
I have my own firm, Hamner Jewell and Associates.
Okay.
We're right away real estate consultants. And I started working with Los Osos Community Service District back when Bruce Buell was there. And at that time, we only had an office in Ventura, and I used to commute up here and stay on the little house in Hemlock that we had during that time period and work with the CSD. And then at the point that there was a change at the Community Service District, we slowed down, and then when the county took over, they brought us back on again to help with the acquisitions of those properties necessary to start the wastewater treatment plant.
So I imagine if you were selected, and who knows how the project is going to be developed, whether or not a firm such as yours would be requested, I imagine you would have to, at some point, since you're involved in this, you wouldn't be able to participate.
That possibility does very well exist. Even though I would not likely be the one to do the work for Morro Bay, it is possible that an engineering firm could come forward. This is a design-build project. They could come forward and request us to be as part of their team. Yes.
So that's something that you would, at this point, be willing to relinquish?
I would be. If it came to that point, yes, I would relinquish.
Okay.
But I still feel I could be a value to the advisory board, to the council, in the fact of just looking at the preliminary situations and be able to devise maybe some of the pitfalls or things coming up which would make the whole project and process run smoother.
Okay. Anybody else for follow-up questions? Does anybody have any closing remarks that they would like to summarize for us?
I would just like to thank the council for putting on and bringing in an advisory committee of this community. I feel the people that are sitting on either side of me, I'm impressed. I'm wowed. I wish we had some of your guys' talent over in Pismo Beach. Right. I will say, though, that you're looking for five positions with two alternates. I think you have such a wealth of talent. I didn't see the nine.
Whether or not they wanted to expand, I think the initial concern when we were looking for a seven-member advisory board was whether or not we would get the applicants. And so that prompted a seven-member, two from the advisory boards that we have, which is Public Works Advisory Board, Planning Commission. So we were seeking five public members at large and with two alternates, because we had seen some trend of not as many talented or even as many applicants as we have on this. So I guess that would be a consideration for the council to discuss now, whether or not they would want to pursue going to a nine board for the WRF advisory board committee. And if we were to do that, it'd be my understanding that, you know, we could go ahead and select our five plus our two alternates today, but we wouldn't actually be able to proceed that. We'd have to come back at a later meeting because it was noticed, particularly with five and two alternates. So I guess we can have a brief discussion whether or not we'd want to pursue a nine committee board. And if we were to do that, we would still be selecting our five members today plus our two alternates. And if we were to agree to a nine member board, then the two alternates would become the eighth and ninth member. And so, have any questions? Is there anybody that if we go, how about if we decide whether or not is there a consensus to go toward nine for the council? Does anybody have any discussion on having interest in going to a nine member committee?
Sorry, I was conferring with the city clerk, and yes, I have an opinion.
Okay.
And yes, I have some, perhaps you also, I guess what I'd like, the question is, this is probably a council discussion,
mm-hmm.
So have we completed our questions for the panelists?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So at this point, we can go ahead and take a recess and then formulate our decisions and then come back and start the process of selecting our advisory board members.
Right, and then we could kick off that discussion
and we could,
with how many.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That seems comfortable to me.
We're going to be selecting the other two until we actually bring it back to council. So we, for one thing, we need consensus from council right now whether or not we want to go to a nine-member board. So is there any more discussion on whether there's interest from council in that?
Yes. I guess what I'd like to do, though, is to... Are we going to poll this? Yesterday we polled the folks. Did I miss it? Did we ask them if they were willing to be alternates? Maybe we would just maybe need to ask that just because it's consistent with yesterday.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And then we're finished with that, and we're finished with this round of questions, and then maybe we could have a little bit of discussion about the structure of the committee before we take a recess.
Okay.
Okay.
So the question would be, is there anyone that wouldn't be willing to participate as an alternate?
This is would not. Is would
so
not.
If you were selected as an alternate, you would not want to participate as an alternate. An alternate would be, you'd be expected to attend all the meetings. You wouldn't be able to participate as a member. You'd be there to, in case a member dropped out, you'd be there to replace that member. So as an alternate, you'd be participating, but you'd be attending the meetings, but you wouldn't be participating in any of the discussion. Yeah. So who is not willing to participate as an alternate? So we've got
Paul and Jim.
Okay. All right, perfect. Thanks. Yeah. Noah?
So I am definitely in favor of expanding the committee to nine full members, including the Planning Commission and the Public Works Advisory Board representative. And I, from what I saw from initial discussion and evaluation from the city attorney, was that we wouldn't necessarily have to vote for alternates today if we decide that that is our intent, but we could come back at a future meeting and confirm that we had shifted the structure of the committee from the 7 and 2 alternates to 9 full members. So my thought would be to, if we can get agreement on that, maybe during the recess, check in with the city manager and the public services director on that element, then we can come back and just pull out the technicality of identifying an alternate in the voting process. That would probably make it easier if we're in agreement with that, and that's okay for us to do.
Okay. I think we still have the. Is there anybody else to
get on there?
I guess George brings up a good question. Do we want to go to any alternates? Because I think it sounds like that would be a bit difficult for folks. I feel like it would be challenging to have people who are qualified but can't participate. So I would prefer to say 9 members, and I'd like to, you know, I think we need to appoint and vote, maybe a separate motion, we need to accept the nominations from the Public Works Advisory Board and the Planning Commission.
We don't need to accept them. Those, they've already been appointed. I think that was part of the original direction. So we've already got those 2 members.
Okay, so we don't need to specifically do that.
Now all we have to do is just go ahead and select the 5 that we've been noticed for this particular meeting. And quite frankly, we did put down that we could select 2 more as alternates. So realistically, we could select 7 people tonight and be done with that. And then it's just a matter of coming back and in a public meeting. I think this was what was confirmed with our city attorney, was then we'd have to come back at a separate meeting and confirm that we are going to a 9-person board instead of 7. So we could select the 7 today, if that's so. And which means, basically, we don't have to worry about who's willing to be an alternate or not. Everybody is an open applicant, so we could select from every member that's applied today for a total of 7 people. Hopefully everybody's not too confused on
so
that.
We
so we can
7.
Select we can
7.
Select 7 people.
Great.
Today.
Great.
We won't be able to confirm that until we come back at a separate meeting.
Right, but by separate meeting, my discussion with our city attorney today was that it would be brought forward to our first meeting in August. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be gathering folks, for clarification on the applicant side, mm-hmm. It wouldn't be gathering you back to another meeting. It would simply be, we vote, that vote is decided tonight, the 7 on the committee, and then that will be confirmed more or less in August. Does that seem to be, I'd like Mr. Crines maybe to respond and make sure the city clerk is also clear with that.
Yeah, you're correct. Actually, you could appoint 5 and 2 alternates, and then if you, which you obviously have a consensus to do that, and then at the meeting in August, the 2 alternates would then be automatically become members of the 9-member panel. If you don't appoint 2 more as alternates tonight, then you have to renotice it, because you can't just bring someone back in August. So my suggestion, based on what the city attorney has also said, is that you actually...
Just to be clear on that, we know we've clarified who wouldn't want to be an alternate, but really for the sake of this, we're not going to have alternates. So all the applicants are available for selection at this point. So I think we're clear on that. So we can take a short recess, and during that recess, I would expect the council members to be doing our work on selection. So we'll just take a short recess for that, and then we'll come back in about 3-4 minutes, and then we'll start the process of selecting.
Thank you.
Okay.
And the applicants can stay, or
the
they can go?
The applicants certainly can stay, and we'll just take a quick recess. And
well, you gave us homework. We can't take a recess.
Exactly.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay, everyone, we're back. Thanks for the short recess. We'll go through this process a couple of times. We've received a committee ballot from our city clerk, Jamie Boucher. Thanks, Jamie. And so we'll select our first five, and then we'll pass them to Jamie, and she'll read the selection, and then we'll go through a couple of these until we get the first five, and then we'll continue on to the next two. So I'll just go ahead and pass mine down. Noah, do you have yours?
Yes.
just stack it on. There we go.
We got the name on there.
While she's telling the votes, I just wanted to take a moment where everyone's clear, and if folks are watching from last night's applicant pool, I just wanted to confirm that the council's decided that a team of seven is what we want, and because of the way we've noticed this meeting, we have to vote five and then two.
Correct.
But our mindset up here is to vote for seven as full members.
Be voting for two alternates, it really means every person that has applied is an eligible applicant.
Correct.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay. So at this time, I think we've got the first go around. Thanks for bearing with us, folks, while we go through this, but it'll just take a little bit as we go back and forth. You could, and that would probably work. We'll have to cue you up next time, Bob. Yeah. This has been a very amazing group of applicants, very qualified.
Okie doke. I've got the votes on the first go-around, and what I'll just do is I will read out per candidate the vote selection. I have for Barbara Spagnola, I have Christine Johnson and Noah Smuckler for a total of two votes. For Bill Woodson, I have Christine Johnson, George League, Noah Smuckler, and Jamie Irons for a total of four votes, and Mr. Woodson would be appointed with a majority vote. I have no votes for Dale Guerra, no votes for David Jewell, no votes for David Nelson, no votes for David Whipple, one vote, George League, for Dennis Hoolsby. For Jim Hayes, I have George League voting for Jim Hayes. For John Diodati, I have Christine Johnson, Noah Smuckler, and Jamie Irons voting for John Diodati, which is a majority of three, appointing John Diodati to the committee. I have no votes for Kelsey Schaefer. For Mary Gerlick, Ginny, I have Christine Johnson, George League, Noah Smuckler, and Jamie Irons for a total of four votes and appointment of Mary Gerlick. Paul Donnelly, I have George League and Jamie Irons for a total of two. Steve Francis, I have no votes. Taylor Newton, I have no votes. Valerie Levillette, I have Christine Johnson. Yes, I have appointed as Bill Woodson with four votes. John Diodati with three votes. Mary Gerlick with four votes. And Valerie Levillette with three votes. Obviously, we don't vote for them again. And so we need to vote for one other and hope we get a majority. Okie doke. And our second ballot, I have Councilmember League voting for Paul Donnelly. I have Mayor Irons voting for Barbara Spagnola. I have Councilmember Smuckler voting for Paul Donnelly. I have Christine Johnson voting for Barbara Spagnola.
Yeah, I think we could do that. I'm good with doing Paul Donnelly as an appointment, yeah. If we can do that, and then get on to the alternates.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that'd be perfect.
Okay, Paul's on, right?
Yeah. Yes. And now we're proceeding with two votes.
Okay, I'm a little bit confused. They each had two. Did we have a vote change?
So we just did a voice vote on and it was unanimous for Paul Donnelly, okay. To appoint. And now we've got all five selected.
And we're voting for them, right?
We are.
Okay. Correct.
Yeah, yep. Hands don't count.
Hands don't
count.
There it is.
Oh, my God. Put that on the screen.
Nice.
Wow. That's very talented.
Would you get that on the microphone?
My phones!
Bob, would you get that on the microphone?
No, that's something.
Okay.
Pass that.
That's fun, though.
It was funny, we did switch.
Okay, and we actually have winners. And I will read these out. I have, for Barbara Spagnola, I have Mayor Irons voting, Councilmember Smuckler voting, and Councilmember Johnson voting.
She's a yes.
For Bill Woodson, obviously, he has already been appointed. For Dale Guerra, I have Councilmember League, Councilmember Smuckler, and Councilmember Johnson.
So Dale's on.
So we have three for Barbara Spagnola and three for Dale Guerra, which I will continue to read out the votes because I need to, but we have now selected our alternates.
Great.
For David Jewell, I have Mayor Irons. For David Nelson, I have no votes. For David Whipple, I have no votes. For Dennis Hoolsby, I have no votes. For Jim Ayes, I have Councilmember League. For Kelsey Schaefer, I have no votes. For Steve Francis, I have no votes. And for Taylor Newton, I have no votes.
Okay, great. Great work by...
Are we going to have... is it going to be just the same people, or do we re-advertise for these last two?
No, everything's done.
Okay. Okay. Good enough.
Yep, thanks. Noah?
I just wanted to confirm that all the applicants would be noticed, and then that our public services director would communicate directly with the selections.
I think so.
Okay, great. Thank
you. Thanks, Rob. And any other discussion?
I just think that we had the most incredible turnout.
Yeah.
And I appreciate everyone coming. And it's a very difficult process, as we've talked about before, to go through this in the very public way, and I would hope that the folks who weren't selected would understand that the process is the way it is for a reason, to make the committee workable, but also that they would stay engaged in the project and attend workshops and continue to voice their expertise and not to have any doubt about bringing things forward to the council if they see something we've missed. So just really I hope we made 15 project advocates at the end of the day today.
Yep, and I'd like to thank Jamie for coordinating the 2 days and the applicants. Thanks for doing that. All the staff for coordinating this, and council for making the 2 days work, and our AGP guys for setting up. So thanks for getting this all together. It was a great job. And we'll adjourn the meeting and move on to our next meeting at City at the Vets Hall. Thank you.